Okay, welcome Asher. Welcome to the share. Okay, so there's a very interesting Mishnah, the 28th parak of Avos Rabbi Nasan, which is a compendium piece to Pirkei Avos. It's a more elaborate form of Pirkei Avos. It compares three types of Talmidei Chachamim. And the metaphor to employ this variance are stones. This type of stone, that type of stone. So before we indulge in the actual Mishnah, it's fascinating that one of the metaphors for Talmidei Chachamim are stones. We always have to check the layers of a statement of Chazal. So why did Chazal choose stones, building stones? Presumably because learning Torah is a process, and especially for young people, you can't expect it to all happen at once. You put one brick upon another brick, and you lay the foundations. And Asher, it seems you're just coming to the Yeshiva. That's a really good message. This is not your year to learn. This is a year to lay the foundations. At the beginning, it seems very daunting. At the beginning, remember, you wanted to have 15 minutes seders of everything because you thought you could finish Kol HaTorah Kula, 15 minutes of Tanakh, and 15 minutes of Musar. Now you realize that you're trying to build skills and commitment and conditioning. So it's an interesting image of building a tower throughout your whole life of Torah, and Talmidei Chachamim are stones that provide material for that tower. Now, what's interesting about the Mishnah is the Mishnah is talking about three types of Talmidei Chachamim. Those who essentially can only teach you Midrashim, basically Agadata, moralisms, ideas, values. Those who can not just teach you Midrashim, but those who can teach you Medrash and Halacha, so they're bifunctional. They're not just Medrash, but they can teach you Halacha. And then there's a third type of person who can teach you Medrash, Halacha, as well as Tosefnos, basically the transmission of the oral Masorah. So the Mishnah is describing a very interesting concept. Should we specialize in certain areas of Torah? Or should we try to be, as people call, Renaissance men and study all parts of Torah? Now, obviously, you want to know all parts of Torah at a baseline. You can't ignore Torah Shebichtav, you can't ignore Torah Shebalpeh. But throughout history, there were trends towards specialization. So, for example, certain Amoraim were called Sinai, because they were very good at transmitting the Masorah. They could make it as if you stood at Har Sinai, they had a photographic memory, which was especially crucial before Torah was committed to text. Whereas others were called Okir Harim. They were the ones whose analysis could lift mountains and pulverize them and recast them. In modern times, you've seen a renaissance of Tanakh learning, and people are pouring tremendous energies into the reconstitution of serious textual Tanakh learning, which is starting to be exposed to, in order to reestablish a balance that had been lost over hundreds of years because of the omission of serious Tanakh learning. So, at a communal level, we do need people to go into special areas of Torah, but obviously all together and have the entire, so this is a good setting for the Medrash. If you only teach one form of Torah, you teach Medrash, you're considered an Eben Guzis. An Eben Guzis is basically a brick. They didn't have bricks, they used stones, but they would shave the stone very, very finely so that it resembled a brick. So if you're someone that can teach Medrash, you are likened to an Eben Guzis. If you can teach Medrash and Halachos, you are likened to an Eben Pina. An Eben Pina is probably a cornerstone. If you look at the way a building is built, brick, 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 you can end this building with just a brick and the other side with a brick, but that would make it much less sturdy. If that corner brick is the same brick, then you're creating sturdiness that you wouldn't otherwise have. So a brick that has two dimensions to it can hold two sides of the wall. And if you cannot just learn and teach Midrashim and Halachos, but you can also teach Tosefnos, then you're considered a Evan Pasifas, which is probably a multicolored stone. It doesn't just serve a function, but there's a beauty and an aesthetic to that stone. Sometimes you see, you walk around, especially in Yerushalayim, there are homes that are, all the houses in Yerushalayim have to be plated with stone. That's the rule, the zoning rule in Yerushalayim. You can't build a wood house, you can't build a stucco house. You can build it, but it has to be plated with stone. So if you walk around along short, you'll notice, for example, my house is plated with stone. It's pretty average looking stone. But some houses have very, very colorful reddish hue stones that are convex, that bend out. Very interesting stones. So here, evidently, the ability to be multifunctional in Torah is important, not only because functionally and practically it provides a lot of information, but because the interplay between the various forms of Torah creates a beauty that wouldn't otherwise be available. So the third level, people that don't just teach Medrash, or don't just teach Halachos, but also teach Tosefnos, is compared not just to something which is functionally superior, but which is aesthetically. So your knowledge in Medrash will affect your knowledge in Tosefta, and your knowledge in Tosefta will affect your knowledge in Halacha, and there'll be an interplay, what's called in in physics synergy, where there's an interplay between different quantities that create something larger than each constituent quantity. I think a lot of us in this yeshiva felt very, very inspired because Rav Lichtenstein really was that type of person. We live in an age of specialization. So, for example, some of the people that are writing very, very popular books about Judaism, the people are reading, describing Judaism, articulating Judaism, they're not necessarily Talmidei Chachamim who can analyze the Gemara to its deepest details. And some of the people who are analyzing Gemara and producing incredible volumes of Chiddush HaTorah aren't necessarily people that are articulating the larger picture of what Judaism means and writing those types of books, and certainly not in the world of Tanakh. I mean, we were looking at him, we felt that we had someone who was really an Evan Pesipa, someone who could combine all of those elements. And that's why it was such a powerful experience to learn with Rav Lichtenstein. Okay? Tomorrow is Chassidus, because it's Wednesday. Welcome back to me. Good morning.
Does it separate?